Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin this study taught by Brother John Allball titled, Do You Want to Build a Nomad? Questions, comments, or prayer requests can be sent to BBFOhio@protonmail.com, or you can send those along with any check or money order donations by addressing them to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You can also donate by going to bbfohio.com and using the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen, or by using the mobile site and the drop-down menu. You can listen to our Bible studies anytime, free of charge, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by going to bbfohioradio.com. And, of course, at bbfohio.com, you can choose which message to listen to, and you'll see the playlists right there on the front page or links to other playlists. But anytime, 24/7, with an internet connection anywhere in the world, bbfohioradio.com. Please tell your loved ones about this free internet resource. And now we begin this study taught by Brother John Allball, titled, Do You Want to Build a Nomad? This is part one of two.
Okay, point number one, contend for the faith. In these last days before Revelation is going to break off, if the rapture occurs right now, I'm done. I'm out of here. Forget it, okay? But it's not happening just at the moment, so we'll keep on going. Contend for the faith. That's what verse 3 says. Number one, or A, building on the right foundation, which is the gospel. And you guys all know the gospel, but we'll just go over it one more time. 1 Corinthians 15. These are verses that should be memorized and kept in the heart. 1 Corinthians 15. And there used to be arguments when I got saved about preaching the full gospel. Okay? And what they did, they added tongues to it. Okay? Well, guys, this is the full gospel, and there's no tongues connected with it. No works connected to it. This is the full gospel right here. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. And that's a neat connection with the Ephesians text, standing in the armor of the Lord. But which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory, which I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And the word vain here is where we get the word vanity. In other words, you're trusting in yourself instead of trusting in the Lord. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How about that? Paul was a partaker of the same identical gospel that you and I got saved with. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We have a copy right here. The Word of God. The Authorized King James. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the full gospel of Christ. Amen. Now, the gospel is no to man. We don't trust man. I have laid the foundation, Jesus Christ. That's the foundation we build upon. He's the rock. He's the foundation. Without him, I will tell you this. There's this one guy I listened to on the radio, drive home late at night. And he's got a good delivery. He's well polished. But he's the type of sermons I get tired of because it's you. If you do this and you do that and you. And he's using Scripture, but he keeps preaching you. I don't want to hear me. And I want to hear, how about the Lord? What can the Lord do? What's the Lord doing? I want to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. You guys will crack up when we left this one church because it was going in the wrong direction. First church we visited, we was looking at the songbook, and I'm flipping through and I'm going, oh my. Now remember, I've been in another church where they were changing the songs, changing the music. I'm flipping through the songbook, I'm going, Jesus is on every single song here. He's dropped out of most of the new songs. If I'm looking at all the songs, I'm seeing the name Jesus all the way through it. What a change. What a change. No to boasting. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We don't boast, what? Look what I've done to deserve my salvation. Look what I'm doing. And I've had a lot of people say to me, John, your crown's going to be big. Sorry, it's not about works. And it's not about the crowd. I'm just glad I'm going up, okay? I'm just glad. And I would like to see a crown for the Lord, okay? But guys, it's not based on works. It's based on faith. You guys have just as much privilege as I do to open up the book and talk to the Lord. And when He talks to you, He'll says, here's what I'd like to have you do. All right? That's all that God requires is what He asks you to do. And what He asks you to do is not going to be identical to what He's going to ask me to do. There's a certain course that God has me on that I need to fulfill. So when I see Him face to face, He said, well, did you do what I asked you to do when you was reading the book that I was talking to you? I want to be able to say yes. So when God talks to you, He's going to put people on your heart who you need to witness to. He's going to put ministries that you can start and reach out to people. You know, you could do a lemonade stand in your neighborhood and pass out tracts. That's ministry, okay? So, and then no to pride. God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but through him might be saved. John 3:17. That's backwards. Let's call that a typo. It's supposed to be John chapter 3. So that's the way it goes. I'm fallible, okay? I'm not wearing the white robe today. Amen. Amen. Okay. So, we build on the gospel. Foundation is Christ. Building the repentant no man. Here's our first no man we're going to build. All right? Romans 10:9. This is the verse whereby I accepted Christ as my own personal Savior. I was 21 years old. And guys, I'd been in church going way back to my early part of life, probably 4 or 5. My parents took me to church. I don't ever recall the gospel ever being taught. I really don't. When I was 18, 19, I guess I thought I was an atheist. I didn't care if there was a heaven or hell at that point. And then at age 21, some people came over to my house and challenged me. And I had argument after argument with them. Until they said, well, God says you're a sinner. I was pretty dumb. I thought to myself, if God says I'm a sinner, I must be a sinner. That's how dumb I was. From that point, they took me down the Romans road, and at this point, that's where I got saved, this verse right here. We have to say no to self. Remember, the man changed the image of God into the image of man. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. So it's no to self, it's yes to trusting in Christ. No to sin. Believe not heart that God hath raised him from the dead. All my sins were put on Christ, and he rose again from the dead. Amen. All my sins. I still have some brethren that's got this magnifying glass looking for all my sins. Guys, you're wasting your time. They're under the cross. They're under the blood. No to judging. Believeth unto righteousness. I'm no longer judging God or judging other people. I was judged at the cross. I was judged there. I believe now unto his righteousness. And while we were studying Romans chapter 1, I looked into Martin Luther's salvation, and I understood how we got saved. But he understood that the righteousness of God was given to him when he repented of sins and trusted the Lord. The righteousness is a gift. We're in his righteousness, and that's the righteousness that we should live by.
Amen.
All right? Believe in your heart that God has raised them from the dead. That's the whole key of Christianity. Okay, building the Christian no man. It's nice to get saved, guys, but if we don't continue in serving the Lord, we're going to fall away. In my earlier years of Christianity, I found out that 40% of the Mormons were people that were saved by the Baptists, and the Mormons came by and collected them. Okay? Same thing with Jehovah's Witness. A huge percentage of those were led to the Lord by Baptists, and the Jehovah's Witnesses came by and collected them into their kingdom. We need to have a discipleship ministry where we are strong in the Word of God. I've been told that the average Jehovah Witness can tear a Bible believer apart in 20 minutes and shred them. Why? Because we're not in the book, guys. We don't know the Lord. We need to know. I don't want the Lord saying, I never knew you. You never showed up for prayer time. You wasn't in the book. I don't want that. I've made two vows in my life. One is with my wife, and the second one is with the Word of God. I spend at least 5 minutes every day in the book. If you know me, it's not 5 minutes. It's 10, 15, 20, and just have a good old time. And I'm trying to develop a more of an evening one, too, but that's a little harder because of the work schedule, everything, but I'm trying. All right. Take a look at Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Building the Christian, no man. Know the Word of God. Satan came to Jesus three times to get him to say yes. And if you take a look in Genesis chapter 3, what's the first word that Satan says to Eve and Adam? Yay. Yes. 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 And what happened? They fell. The tactics of Satan never change. He's trying to get Jesus to say yes. So he says no to Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That should be it for us. No to the world. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And if you have an NIV, you don't have every word. There's no way you can fight the devil, because he already has you, because you got a phony Bible. And what cracks me up about the NIV is it's the only Bible that comes close to the King James. The King James is very close to a billion right now. But wouldn't you know it, the NIV, 400 million. 400 million stupid Christians have thrown away the Word of God for something phony. The Dark Ages. And not only that, the makers of the NIV, which I think the copyright is owned by the guy from Australia that owns Fox TV.
Murdoch.
Murdoch, yeah. He owns the NIV. Zondervan, the whole works. And he's a Catholic. Unless he gets saved, we're not seeing him on the other side, okay? But they went ahead and updated the NIV. It's the NIRV, which means the NIV is no longer the Word of God. Anyone pick up on that? And it's worse than the NIV. Fascinating. And then, of course, no to the flesh nature. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Three times, Satan tried to get him to say yes, and he said no. So Jesus was a no man. And guys, the same thing should be true with us as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. We should be no men. No to the flesh, no to the devil, and no to the world. Okay, beware of creepers. I call this one from verse 4. Beware of creepers of condemnation. They creep in, I tell you. And you don't even know it. I heard a testimony of a guy that was, he was a warlock, and he was in a Baptist church. And no one knew it. They're in there, guys. Now, I heard another story out in California. This lady that was a witch, who was sent to a destroy church, and she got saved. So praise the Lord. The Spirit of God was so powerful in that place that it shook her to her foundation. She ended up getting saved, and she's serving the Lord if she's still alive today. We call this one the atheistic no man. Psalm 53:1. Let's go ahead and take a look at that real quick. Matthew 53. I mean, Psalm 53:1. And just so you know, when Pastor Miller asked me to, as far as to preach today, I talked to the Lord. I said, Lord, I got some good suggestions for you. I said, well, how about this one? He said, no. I said, well, how about this one? No. Well, how about this one? No. I said, okay, what would you like today? And so this is where the idea of the no man came from. 53 verse 1. And it's just fascinating. Tomorrow's April Fool's Day. Okay? The fool, and we've already had a couple references on the fool already. The fool has said in his heart, look at God, he's looking at the heart. He looks at the heart. He doesn't look at your face. Amen? He looks at the heart. There is no God. corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. Notice that again, the word iniquity is showing up again. There is none that doeth good. Okay. The atheistic no man. No God. He says there is no God. And I almost want to think when I meditate on that, that he's actually saying too, there's no God that's going to judge me. Not only is there no God, I'm not even going to be judged for my sins. No truth. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. Can we make any guesses what abominable iniquity might be? We talked about it in Sunday school today. Yeah, men with men, women with women. Abominable iniquity. That is fascinating all by itself. Now, and number three, no judgment. There is none that doeth good. Which means they're doing sin, and they're not expecting any judgment to be on their sin. How about the one guy in Chicago got let off? He broke all the laws, guys, and they gave him a clean bill. No penalty. Injustice. That is what's happening in our country when you get away from the Word of God and you get away from thinking right. Now, let's take a look at Luke 18, verses 16 to 17. And we have a little bit of fun with that one. Okay, verse 16. But Jesus called unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, shall in no wise enter therein. Now, comparing Scripture with Scripture, the kingdom of God is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. That's called the kingdom of God. And notice here, the kingdom of God is compared to what? Children. Little children. Fascinating. When it comes to the atheistic no man, they were little children at one time. They had a resemblance of the kingdom of God. And what happened? As they got older, they made a decision, and they got involved in abominable iniquity, and now their whole time frame has changed. But there's a neat study in comparing the two. You ask little kids, where's heaven? And they point up. Well, where's hell? They point down. All right? You can't get any clearer than that. But little children. Now, I'm going to say all children. I don't know what's going on in the rest of the world. I can make some guesses of what's going on. And I know in Moscow, when McDonald's built their first McDonald's there, they hired all these teenagers to work for them. The store ran perfect except for one item. They could not get the teenagers to smile when they handed out the food. Now tell me, how bad a life do those teenagers have where they can't smile? How oppressive and repressive and whatever else oppressed those kids are, they can't even smile when they hand you the food. Something wrong with that picture, guys. The children in America, I know right now in California, one more generation, the whole state of California is destroyed. It is totally going to go under. Chicago, Illinois. Illinois is going to be the next state to fall under. And not too sure that there's a whole lot more states starting to follow the trend of California. And you're going to just see them collapse like dominoes. And that makes me sad. Okay. This was a gospel track. You guys have seen it. Here we go. Happy April Fool's Day. I have an email version of this, so it's in a PDF format, so if you'd like to have it, here's my email address, 2john3av@gmail. And while I was at the other church we was at, I had someone ask me what the AV stood for, because they knew. Okay, so we don't check it too often, only because no one sends us anything. I think we have 19 messages for 5 years, so there's not a whole lot of outreach right now. But if anyone will send me an email at this address, I'll send you the free email gospel track on April Fool's Day, and it shows you the history of how April Fool's Day came about. And I think you're very, very pleased with how this story goes on that one. Okay, now we're going into the self-righteous no man. This one is really fascinating. Okay, let's take a look at Revelation chapter 3, 14 to 22. Revelation chapter 3, 14 to 22. The book of Revelation is it's really not that hard to understand. The first three chapters has to do with the church. And then from chapter 4, which verse 1 is a picture of the rapture, church is gone. So normally from chapter 4 up to 19, and that's when Christ returns at the end of the 7 years to rescue Israel. And then you have what the future looks like, chapter 20, 21, 22 in that area. Let's take a look at verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write. Oh, and this is the picture of the last church age, the last picture of the last church age before Christ returns. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And just so you know, I guess in the Laodicea area, there was two different towns next to them. One of them had cold water springs. Coldness is for refreshment. And then on the other city, they had a hot water springs, and that was used for healing. So healing and refreshment. And this is what the church ought to be doing in the community, healing and refreshment. But this group here, they're lukewarm. Fascinating. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And this is the verse on Jennifer's song. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And guys, he's knocking on the church of the Laodiceans. Now, you can spiritually take this and use it as he's knocking on the door of the single heart. I have no problem with that. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, and we talked about that again with building on the rock, building on the sand. If any man hear my voice, which means the Laodicean church is in sand. It's building on sand. And open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. And guys, the more I meditate on just this verse here, I'd like to share with you, we've been hornswaggled, all right? We go to the Christian bookstore, we see all these famous names and famous books. We see all the famous singers. We see all the names of the big churches, and we go, wow. And we're flabbergasted on, wow. That's nothing to God, guys. That's nothing but Houdini tricks. But notice all the Lord wants here is fellowship. You and me in the book. That's it, guys. And you talk to him, he talks to you, and he says, this is what I'd like to have you do. That's called faith. You don't invent faith. You don't invent it. You get it from God talking to you. The more you can memorize this book, the more you can read it, the more you get to know it. It's slow at first, guys. I'll confess that to you. I'm at a point right now. Anywhere I jump in the book, the verses are flying everywhere. And it's not me. They're just I'm looking at stuff and going, oh my, he's talking to me. I'm having a blast. And you can have a blast too. It's just you and him talking. Verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. How did Jesus overcome? The cross. And he rose again from the dead. We need to come to the cross and we'll overcome. Same thing. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Okay. Laodicean church has no personal faith. They're not in the book. If Jesus Christ is the pure Word of God, what's he standing outside the church for? Any church today that does not have an authorized King James Bible in the pulpit and in the pews, Jesus is standing outside. I don't care how well you say the Spirit is good in that place and it's going good. Give it a generation or two, it'd be just like Kentucky. 100 churches abandoned. What happened? What happened? 100 churches abandoned, and then the Muslims are buying them up. All right, building mosques to the God Allah. What happened, guys? Guys, it's not about the church. It's about the people in the church fellowshipping with the Lord. It's about the Lord talking to you and saying, here's the work I'd like to have done. And he gives us the church so we can practice, if you want to call it that, love one another. I met a member of the other place we'd been at a couple weeks ago. And I said, I just want you to know I still love everybody there. Because in John 15 and other places, Christ says, you know, as I love the Father, I share that love with you. And I want you to love one another. So where do we get the love to love one another? It's in fellowshipping with the Lord. And if we're not fellowship with the Lord, we'll have the arguments, we'll have the fights, and everything else will pop in.
Amen.
The Spirit of God will bind us together. And we can do great things, not just together, but individually. There's a power there. But notice here, no personal faith. I am rich. You know what they did? They stole God's name. They stole it. Listen to all the new songs that are coming out. Where they singing to the Lord saying, aren't you glad I showed up to worship you? I'm sure God's holding his nose, okay? That's not praise and worship. And there's so many. There's this one song we don't really care for. God loves you like a hurricane. Where did they get that from? Oh, we got it from the Bible. What, NIV? ESV? Have you seen the damage of a hurricane? You don't want to be there, guys. It's bad enough Virginia had the tornado ripped through there. And I was told by one person that survived it said, if you don't do anything else, grab your checkbook. Because you're desperate for money after that thing has totally destroyed everything there is. Now, I put the note on here. Not for filthy lucre. No personal faith. What are they going after? They're going after money. You look at all these big name churches, money, 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 money. And they say, if you come and give money and sit in the pew for 3 services, that's all you have to do. In fact, is on winning souls, you know, or as far as seeing people get saved, here's what they do. Instead of you going out doing it, they say, well, Sunday morning will be our gospel time and you bring them in and we'll do it. That's not the gospel, guys. I don't care how well you brand it. And I know people will get saved that way. People are supposed to be saved outside the church, and you bring them in. And I've been at enough churches to tell you they treated guests better than the people in the church. I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm part of the body of Christ. I get off the carpet for this other person here, please. Move. Keep your tithe, we still like your tithe, and come 3 times, but other than that, we don't want anything to do with you. Guys, we get in the book, and when you get in the book, yeah, one of my great delights is when my wife or son or daughter comes up to me and says, look what I found in the book. Look what I found. It's exciting. And it's exciting when they take worldly events and say, here's how to apply the Word of God to that worldly event. I like that. I like that. It's a joy. All right? And that's the way it should be.